All right, doctrinal reversionism. One, introduction. A, this doctrine must be viewed in harmony with other doctrines such as the salvation adjustment, the maturity adjustment to the justice of God, rebound, eternal security, volition, etc. It is part of, if you will, the elementary principles of doctrine. Again, doctrine is defined and understood by doctrine itself. If you don't have all your doctrinal hats in a row, ducks in a row, you come to particular doctrines, you end up being misguided, misunderstanding in regards to what's going on. So one must understand the issues in the Christian life, what it means to be saved, phase one, faith apart from works, what it means to live the Christian experience, the maturity adjustment, the necessity of rebound, which recognizes we all continue to sin, or else why would the imperative be there? The fact that you can't lose your salvation under eternal security, that we all created free moral agents. The STA, another doctrine, obviously, to understand reversionism. B, failure to gap these doctrines have led to distortions about reversionism, to include those who say you can lose your salvation, or they never were saved to begin with. That's another excuse you will hear. Again, as I've mentioned in the past, I came out of that kind of legalistic background. It's kind of ironic, as a fundy legalist reversionist coming out of that background, probably the most morally upright I have been in life experientially. I was constantly always questioning my salvation, whether or not I ever get to heaven. Then being myself, my STA gone, I get on doctrine, and now I'm more secure in regards to knowing I'll go to heaven than I ever was. That is a paradox in life, but it's kind of fun. It's just one of the tactics that is used to keep people off balance, keep them coming back. You know, we don't play games here, extend superficial wreaths or gifts, etc., for people to come to Bible class. They don't want doctrine, fine. If you don't want to go to maturity, that's your business. Now, we'll tell you the doctrine concerning it, and that's it. We don't have to sit there and pound on your head that you got to ride the altar to heaven, and it's better than going to hell, and the whole other scenarios, emotionalism, etc., that churches do to keep people warm bodies in their seats. God establishes churches. Yeah. If there's sufficient positive volition and He keeps it there, the church is established and is sustained and is maintained. If it dies out, it peters out. Yeah. So much for that. How many of the seven churches in the book of Revelation are still in existence? There's only one that even comes close to having this reputation of being there, and that was Philadelphia. And that's all for a purpose in its prophetic sense. Just unbelievable. See, churches come, churches go. And it's not because the building got old and got torn down. It's because believers. They're the church, see. See, the corresponding doctrine that directly relates to and parallel to reversionism, is volition, free will that resides in the soul, which categorizes volition, as we know, as being either negative or positive. One on the negative side, the negative branch, what we put in minus V, that soul which chooses to reject or deny the truth of God's plan. As it relates to the three adjustments required for men to have a relationship with God. Those are three adjustments again. A, the salvation adjustment to the justice of God. That principle, that doctrine is based on faith alone, apart from works. And the person of Jesus Christ is your object of faith, and that is for deliverance or salvation from eternal condemnation. One time, faith in Christ is called a work, but the work itself is non-meritorious. There's no credit given in regards to the act of faith being the cause of the salvation, apart from is their simple acceptance. John 1:12. So, first and foremost, you've got to have this doctrine correct if you're going to expect to build on doctrine, the foundation, your house, your doctrinal house, and to keep all your other doctrines in a row and sound. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And that's all that's required, faith. His name is His reputation, who and what He is. John 3:16 and 36, common verses most Christians would recognize. For God so loved the world that He gave His uniquely begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. The may recognizes it's based on their decision. And then 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Romans 10:13. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the four square gospel groups, those that proclaim you not only have to believe, but you got to keep your nose clean after the fact to get into heaven, it's all bogus. And it just reflects their failure to understand other pertinent principles of doctrine, such as the necessity of righteousness and the quality of that righteousness that one must possess to be in heaven, which has to be absolute. It has to be perfect. And that none of us can ever produce that on our own, because we come in the world imperfect to begin with. Once you're imperfect, you can never be perfect. Only by association can that ever become possible. Be the rebound adjustment, then the second adjustment to the justice of God. So that gets you into the plan of God. That makes you a citizen in God's kingdom. Now you have the experience, the Christian experience. That's the mechanics for the believer in time, point B, in dealing with experiential sin in the life. 1 John 1:9 is the mechanics. If we acknowledge our sins to God, name them, confess them to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to believers, for believers. Sandwiched in between the two verses says, if you say you're without sin or you don't sin, you're an idiot. Paraphrased. Compare 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. Paul to the Corinthians to remedy their SEA activities during communion. Rebound it before you partake of the elements, see? So we're expected to stay on top of our own sin activity in life before God. That's part of living the Christian life and growing up spiritually. That demands intellectual honesty. Without intellectual honesty, you will go nowhere with doctrine. You got to be honest before God, whether you're lying to everybody else around you or not. If you expect God to bless your endeavors experientially and to be forgiven of personal sin in a life. And that confession of sin can be particulars of each sin, or can be bulk, anything from the past to the present of the time of rebound. See, the maturity adjustments to the justice of God, that is then the goal of the believer, priest, experientially, and that's to grow up spiritually. The believer's most pressing responsibility and ultimate goal in life necessary to maximize a relationship with God and eternal niche. Like anyone, you become a citizen in another country. Generally speaking, the reason why you want to become a citizen is so that you can find yourself and prosper yourself and meet your goals of life otherwise in that domain. So it is in regards to become part of God's citizenship. And that demands that we grow up spiritually. We all start off equally as spiritual babies with the spiritual food, that is Bible doctrine, fed while in fellowship, having implied rebound. We start receiving spiritual nourishment and an application in regards to that doctrine. We start working out our spiritual muscles, and we start growing up and becoming, hopefully, healthy, well-rounded spiritual adults. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Not being like the vast majority of believers, vacillating in regards to life. Again, having our doctrinal ducks in a row. To know how to think, what to think, and the direction to take in regards to all aspects of life. As a result, we are no longer to be children. That's the spiritually immature, which is this description here generally conforms to one who is spiritually immature. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The impact of things in life designed to be forcefully pushes one direction or another. Everything that people proclaim to be, oh, this is God's plan. This is the truth. And that obviously has a spectrum that is extremely widespread, from the evolutionary types to Christians themselves. By the trickery of men, here we have a gambling metaphor, by craftiness with regard to the scheming of deceit, all things not in line with sound Bible doctrine. There's nothing more in one's approach to life is nothing more than gambling with one's spiritual life, which the cosmos is there, if you will, throwing the die, telling you, here, pick this number. Pick a number. See. Become rich. But speaking the truth in love, in contrast to that, we're not to fall in that category. And that means you've got to grow up. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice, form of evil, and all guile, deceit, and hypocrisy, no hypocrisy in the truth, and jealousy, these all SEA activities, and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. In other words, thirst. Recognizing this as an infant does inherently. You got to have that sustenance in order to survive and to live. So it is in the spiritual world. Milk of the Word, that by it you may grow with respect to deliverance, salvation. In 2 Peter 3:18... but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So, negative volition is rejection of, dismissal of, the adjustments at any level. Two, then on the other end of the coin, those whom we refer to as positive volition, the Bible uses the term seekers often in this regard, and it's that soul where volition resides in our soul, which chooses to believe the truth of Bible doctrine and apply it as it relates to the three adjustments to God. That is the general categorization of positive and negative volition. D, on the other end of the coin, reversionism is the expression of negative volition to Bible doctrine, equating to a regression or a degeneration, and the funny world often referred to as backsliding. And it thwarts spiritual advance. The effect is thwarting spiritual advance. You're running out of your SCA, unbridled in some area. And your spiritual advance is stymied. And you're not going forward, progressing in that regard. And then set point E further dissects volition. I'm out of steam, so we'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.